Well, good morning. Hey, I don't know about you, but do you ever just sit back and let the words of some of those songs and the truth and the power of some of those songs just speak into your life? I don't know what your 2020 has looked like, but I look back at mine and even the worlds in which we live, and I need a little bit of that. I count the joy come every battle, because I know that's where you'll be. And I can feel the light as the darkness bows to him. And I know for so many of us, 2020 has felt like a battle. It's felt like a year full of darkness. And yet what we cling to is that we have a God who has been in the middle of it all. And no mess in your life, no mess in this world ever scares him away. My hope is that you hang on to that as we cruise into this brand new year. Couldn't be more excited that you have chosen to join us as we dive into this brand new series that is so appropriate as we dive into a brand new year that we are calling What's Next. And if you're here for the very first time in person, or maybe you're listening to our podcast, or maybe you're checking us out online, what we want you to know is that we believe this one thing with all of our heart, that today you are not here by accident. That whether you believe it or not, that God has something he wants to do in and through this series, in and through this message in my life and in your life this morning. Over the course of the next 4 weeks, as we dive into this series, we are going to be addressing this question that has the potential to make a profound impact on your and my 2021s. A question that can propel us into a desired future. A question that can change the trajectory of our lives. Because let's be honest, if every single one of us looked close enough and hard enough and got honest enough, what we would be forced to admit about our lives is that staying where we're at isn't the desired option. Am I right? That whether your 2020 was great in your business or great in your marriage, or like mine, we got to add two little boys to our family officially, we still find elements of our lives and our 2020s in which we recognize staying where I'm at just isn't the best option going forward. We all desire something just a little bit better. Maybe it's in our marriages, maybe it's with our kids, maybe it's in our finances, maybe it's in our workplaces, maybe it's just in the circumstances of the world in which we live, that we want 2021 to be something better. And what we acknowledge is this, is that because of that truth in every single one of our lives, no matter who you are or what stage of life you find yourself in, middle school, high school, young adult, the rest of us who like to clump ourselves into just slightly older than young adult, every single one of us have a step that is possible to take at the outset of 2021. A step that is worth taking. A step that acknowledges that we believe something is better in our future than what it has been in our past. For many of us, the last time that we were together was on Christmas Eve. And your Christmas experiences as a family were still in your future. And now as we find ourselves just a few weeks past that, we all look back on our Christmases, and our hope is that your Christmas, while it may have been different than any other Christmas in your past, was still one that you can look back on with fond memories. And as I look back on my Christmas, what I recognize is that the Christmas of this year is vastly different than the Christmases of just a few years ago in my life. You see, if we have reached the stage with my two boys, we have a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old. We have reached the stage in which they are little kids and they have the wonder of Christmas inside of them. And because of that, some of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about. We as parents tend to build unrealistic expectations of what Christmas should look like. Like, Christmas is going to be amazing and the kids are going to love everything that they get and we're going to bask in this Christmas stuff for the entire day. And when we actually reached our Christmas, do you know what our Christmas looked like? It was about 20 minutes long. Because our kids, we do about 4 or 5 presents for each of them. Each of them get like one set of pajamas, one outfit, one book, and one toy for Christmas. And what ended up happening was we would set a present down in front of our two boys and they would rip into it. And you know what they would do? All right, on to the next one. And it's like, okay, here's another one. And they'd rip into it and then discard it off to the side. And some of y'all, you know what I'm about to say. What I recognized on this Christmas
is that the discarding process happened a whole lot quicker when there were clothes in the box. Amen? Right? And it was just like, I gotta believe, Mom and Dad, that the present that's coming next is a whole lot better than the clothes that I just opened. And you see, in your life and in my life, didn't 2020 feel a whole lot like clothes? And maybe for some of us, if we got really honest, it's not just the last year that felt like close. It's been the last 5 years of our marriage that sort of felt like close. It's been the past 10 years of our job. And we want to hope and we want to believe that the next present we open in the form of 2021, that this year in the life of our parenting, this year in the life of our finances, this year in the life of our marriage, this year in the life of our work, this year in the life of our ministry in this world, in this city, has got to be better than the clothes that we just opened. And yet we find ourselves standing back and feeling like this isn't the first time we felt that way. If it's been 5 years of a closed marriage, 10 years of a closed-like job, year after year, we've wondered and we've desired for it to be better. And yet here we find ourselves at the outset of 2021 feeling just a little bit stuck. Feeling like we don't know how to turn the corner. Feeling like we don't know where to go to make this one different than the other times we've desired for this year to be better. And what if this morning I told you that the solution to that problem and our ability to turn the corner this year in 2021 lied in this one question, lied in our ability to not just ask the question, but to be courageous enough to answer the question in our lives. That if we want to turn the corner and we want 2021 to be the best year yet, then it requires us to look our God in the eye and to wake up in the morning and look ourselves in the mirror and to ask the question, what comes next? Where do we go from here? What steps need to be taken so that this year is different from all of the rest and we can begin to believe that what lies ahead is far better than what lies behind? And thousands of years ago, there's a man, a king named King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth. As he took time to look back on his life and the successes and the failures that had happened year after year of his life, year after year in his marriages, year after year in his parenting, what he began to recognize was this one truth that rings true through thousands of years into your life and my life. And it's a truth that we find him writing in the book of Proverbs chapter 29. It's where we're going to dive into first this morning, and it's really going to be the theme of this series as we dive in week after week. If you haven't done so already, it's a perfect opportunity for you to grab your weekly. It's what you got when you came in this morning. And if you crack that open, you'll find a notes page on the inside that we've designed specifically for you to help you follow along as we move through the text, to even help you fill in some blanks of some notes with the pen and the seat back in front of you, some things that you can hang on to as you struggle and battle through this question and the answer to this question. But here is this incredible truth that King Solomon lays out, not just for his life, but for your life and my life, for your 2021 and my 2021. Check this out. Starting in verse 18, it says this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And if you're not quite sure what that final word and the weight of that final word means, perish means dies. Where there is no vision, where there is no forward thinking, people die. And as Solomon wrote this, he wasn't just talking about the physical element of the word die or perish. While that rang true and was relevant thousands of years ago, when he looked back at his past and the wars and the battles and the invasions that took place for the Israelites, that was certainly true. That when there was no forward thinking, when there was no vision for your country and your army, that perish and death would certainly come. What Solomon was also talking about is something that you and I understand all too well, that when there is no forward thinking, there is a slow death that begins from the inside out, mentally, emotionally, and yes, even spiritually in our lives. for every single one of us, that when we are unwilling to ask the question, what's next, and look into our future, that things begin to die that are precious to us. And the Hebrew word that Solomon uses in this passage, Hebrew is the original text, the original language that this text was written in. The word that Solomon uses for the word vision is a word kazon. Can you say that with me? Kazon. Y'all know a little bit of Hebrew. And it's not calzone, like we're all ready for lunch, right? It, take out the L and it's kazon. And what that word is literally translated into in the Hebrew, and this is so good, it's translated into a passionate pursuit of the future. Where there is no passionate pursuit of the future, things die in our lives. Isn't that powerful? And I also wanted to share with you what this passage says in the text that we typically read out on a Sunday morning out of the NLT. Here's what's written here because I think it reveals some incredible things as well. It says this in the NLT. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. When we refuse God's guidance for our lives, we run wild on our own volition. We start to live by, y'all have been there in the social media world, right? Hashtag YOLO. You only live once, right? And we start to chase after everything and pursue everything that everybody else around us is pursuing because YOLO. And yet there comes a point in this pursuit of YOLO in our lives that we one day we step back and we wonder what's gone wrong. We wonder how things got so broken in our marriage. How things got so broken in the lives of our kids and our relationship with them. That we've been friends with them for their entire life, and here they are, 14, and our parenting has fallen apart because we've been friends with them up until this point. We wonder what's gone so wrong in our finances and our workplaces. And the reality of our lives is this. Is that every time we have this mindset of YOLO in our lives and we keep digging ourselves deeper and one day we find ourselves at a place in which we are filled with regrets, we begin to believe that the solution is simply this. I must stop doing all of those wrong things in my life. And check this out. This is so good. While that is meant to be the end result, that was never meant to be the starting point for how we make things better in our lives. When we start with, I'm just going to stop doing all the bad things, guess what? That approach is futile. You will fail at it more times than what you would like to count. But if we really want to turn our lives, our marriages, our finances around in this year and make this year better than any of the rest, we must stop trying to just stop everything bad in our lives. The way in which we fix it is by having something better on the horizon of our lives that we are shooting after. That's what bears fruit. That's what makes something better and different possible in our lives. That's how we begin to experience in verse 19, right after this. He uses this word in the Hebrew language that some translations say joy, some say contentment, but the Hebrew word literally means this: contentment that overshadows all circumstances. Anybody need a little bit of that in their life? Like, can I rewind and have a little bit of that in my 2020? Like a little bit of contentment that overshadows no matter what circumstances the world can throw at you? A joy that is found no matter what circumstances this world can throw at you? You see, when we shoot for something better on the horizon, something better in our futures, that's when we begin to experience the contentment that God designed us to have. And the better life on the horizon is what God actually desires for you and for me. See, I know there's some of us in this room who we're walking back into the church for the first time in a long time, and the only message we've ever heard is a message that feels like it's all about a no fun God, all about a God who wants to rob us of joy and contentment. We just got to follow the rules so that one day maybe we can have eternity with him. Do you realize that God's design, God's purpose was for us to have an incredible eternity, and eternity does not start when we die. Hello. God's definition of eternity starts now. He wants your life on this earth, and once we leave this earth, to be the best it can possibly be, to be filled with contentment and joy from this day forward. And he makes it abundantly clear throughout this love letter that he has written to you and I. Time and time again, we see things like what the psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 16, that God wants to speak into your life and he wants to make it known. No, I desire for you to have a great life. I desire for you to have joy and pleasures. But the way in which you do it is this. Check this out in verse 11. You will show me the way of life. You'll show me the path to take. You'll guide me on what my next steps are supposed to be. And when you do that, you will grant me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. That's what God desires for you and for me. And yet, I don't know about your life, but I can say this about my own. The most frustrating part of my life and my past is this. Is that all too often, I settle for less than what Christ paid for. Hello. That we settle for less than what Christ paid for. Do you realize that we have a God who sent his son to die on a cross to make things right from this day forward in your life and in my life? To give us a life and give us a life to the full. That was God's desire. That was his design so that you and I could have a better 2021 than what we had a 2020. That has already been paid for. And when we settle for less, guess what? You are getting ripped off with your life. When I settle for less, I am getting ripped off with my life and what Christ has paid for in my life. But for us to start to step into and live out what's already been paid for, we must have the courage to ask, what's next? And when we do that, we begin to discover this incredible direction forward. This incredible direction that over the course of the next 4 weeks, we are going to take just one step each week and break it down. We believe that there are four incredible steps, that when we step into them, it allows us to begin to experience a contentment and a life that God designed you and I to have. A few weeks from now, we're going to talk about this first step towards contentment in our life, and that is that we believe with all of our hearts that in order to find true and lasting contentment, we must know God. And I'm not talking about know God. I'm talking about know God. Not knowledge. Not rules, but relationship. It's the reason why every time you walk into this room right above the door, our mission statement is planted there. It's the reason why every single day we are driven by a pursuit of leading people one step closer to Jesus Christ. Because we believe that when we take steps in that direction and every single day we're growing in our relationship with Christ and we're knowing who God really is, more than just what the church tells us, more than just what we've believed since we were kids. But when we really get to know a God who loves us, regardless of what our past says about us, regardless of what we've done, that nothing we could do would ever make him love us any more or love us any less. When we know God like that, it allows us to start living a life that is different than what we've already lived. When we do that, we no longer perish. We no longer run wild, but we find a way in this life to thrive. And then secondly, we're going to talk about our ability in this step of finding freedom. Bondage always holds us back from taking the necessary steps. Because do you know what bondage is in our life? It's literally this chain that is attached to our back, that is attached to something in our past. And while we have a little bit of freedom within that chain, there will always come a point in which we reach the end of it. And because of that bondage, we can't go any further. We can't take the next necessary step. And what we must do is we must find freedom to allow us to unhook that bondage to what's in our past and to walk forward into what God has intended for us. And then third, this is what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about how we discover our purpose. See, maybe some of y'all have heard this before. We believe the two best days of our life or the two most important days of our life are the day you're born and the day you realize why. That our lives begin to change when we recognize that we have been created with a purpose unique from anybody sitting next to you, from anyone living in the same house as you. That God has uniquely designed you in such a way to change the world in only a way that you can change the world. That there is someone desperately waiting for you to do what only you can do, and their lives will change because of it. Someone desperately waiting for you to give up your own preferences for the sake of their eternity. Hello. And this morning, we're going to talk about this step of how you and I have ultimately been created to make a difference. That in our lives, in our past, when we look back on our past, right, and we see those moments where we've made an impact in somebody else's life, isn't there something that stirs in our soul when we have impacted somebody else, when we can tangibly see a difference that has been made? And doing that more often unlocks the life we desire. Doing that more often unlocks the life that we were created to live. But the issue is that for every single one of us, myself included, there is this gravitational pull inside of us as humanity. This gravitational pull that is only fed by the culture around us. And that gravitational pull goes like this. That there will come moments in our life in which we feel pulled towards doing what is best for me and me alone. Looking out for number one at every single turn. And when we do that, there will come a moment in our lives in which we look back on our past and the decisions in which everything has been about just me, and we will wonder what's missing. And the answer to what's missing is that you and I were not created to live like that. We don't exist for me and me alone. It's so much better than that. You and I were created for a bigger mission than just ourselves. You can't thrive like that. The church cannot thrive like that. That's not why we exist. We don't exist for just me. And people walk into this place all the time and they ask questions like, Ben, why every week do we have to sit there and listen to you talk about first-time visitors and how excited we are that we're here? Why do we have to do things like at the movies? And that doesn't feel very churchy. Why do we take Sundays off to get into rows and put on cheesy hairnets and pack 30-some thousand meals for people in need? Or take Sundays off. Couldn't it be done on a different day? Then take Sundays off to venture out into our community and to give our blood, sweat, and tears serving people who may never walk through the doors of our church. Why do we have to be so missional? Wouldn't it just be easier to be a church that was about keeping the people you already have happy? And my answer is always the same. Growth is not an option when heaven and hell exist. And it does. See, what we do isn't about making the church bigger. If you think that's the point, you're sorely missing the point. The point is that we have been given a mission as individuals, as Christ followers, as the local church. We have been given a mission to live our life to the full by helping other people see that they were created to be able to live their life to the full. That's what God intended for you and for I. Our mission directly reflects our Savior, this guy named Jesus, who came and walked on this earth, who we are following, had this to say in John 17. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And newsflash, them wasn't just the 12 dudes around him. You know who them was? Me. You. Just as I have been sent into the world, I am also sending you. Because that's where you begin to recognize that you were created to make a difference. This guy named Jesus that we are following said things like this over and over and over again. I have come to seek and save those who are lost. I have come so that those who are last will become first. I have come because it's not the healthy who need my help. It's the sick who need my help. His desire for us was clear over and over again that when you do as I have done, you will begin to experience, he says this in John 10:10, a rich and satisfying life. And I don't know, but there were moments and elements of 2020 that didn't feel so rich and satisfying. And I desire my 2021 to be a little bit more like that. And yet Jesus was like, hey, I want you to know this was my purpose. I want to give you a rich and satisfying life from right now into the rest of eternity. But as much as I want that for you, there's someone who stands on the other side who wants the exact opposite for you. And you must recognize that. There was a thief, an enemy, whose sole purpose is to steal and kill and destroy the life I've intended you to live. And one of the best tactics that enemy uses to rob you and kill that best life possible is to begin to convince you and convince me that our lives were always meant to be all about me. This life was never meant to be all about you. It was never meant to be all about me. It's about us being on mission. And I know what y'all are thinking right now. You're like, I watched Volunteer Appreciation Sunday last week, and when is that dude, Pastor Russell, coming back? Because he's a whole lot nicer than this dude on stage. Didn't Russell do an incredible job last week? I promise I'll be a little bit nicer next week. But there's this reality at the outset of 2021 that we can't miss if we want this year to be vastly different than the years of our past. We must stop being fooled. Making the biggest difference happens when we shed this myth that living the best life is living a life all about me. And we begin to readjust our perspective right here, right now, and we begin to see as Paul saw. On the heels of this conversion experience, when his entire life's mission was about destroying Christ, and in an instant, everything changed. And he was trying to discover, man, what's my new mission? How do I make my life a whole lot better than what it has been and experience contentment like I've never experienced before? This is the conclusion that he came to. This is so incredible. In Acts chapter 20, check this out. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. And Paul, what's the work that we've been assigned? The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. You see, Paul began to understand what you and I so often overlook. And that is that you and I will live a better life when we know why we live. You and I begin to live a better life when we fully understand why we were created. Several years ago, every year it keeps getting longer and longer in the rearview mirror, which is more and more depressing. Several years ago, as I graduated from high school, my best friend's parents decided that they were going to get me and my best friend a trip for our graduation present. And the trip that they came up with was they were going to get us a weekend getaway to West Virginia. Because in Wheeling, West Virginia, there is a casino in which you only have to be 18 to gamble at. I was a man before I was a pastor. And so on this trip, as we were preparing for this trip, my mother, she went all the way down the path for how detrimental this trip was going to be. And my mom played the whole thing out. And like, if you go to this casino in Wheeling, I'm going to have to clean it up just a little bit because mom is in this service. If you go to this trip, you're going to get addicted to gambling. And it's going to lead you down a path in which one day you're going to be a hobo on the side of the road because you went on this weekend trip. And I can still remember we went out to the car and I jumped in the car and loaded the suitcase, and my parents came out with me, and I don't know if my mom even knows this, but Mom and Dad, they went back into the house as we were getting ready to pull out of the driveway. And my dad comes like slinking back out to the car and he reaches in his back pocket and through the window he slides in a $100 bill and he's like, take this, gamble this first, have fun. But as we showed up on scene, Wheeling has something that I had never seen or experienced before. They have all your normal gambling games, your slots, all those sorts of things. But they also have a racetrack there. But it's not a horse racing track. It is a greyhound racing track. Now, if you've never experienced greyhound racing before, you can probably play this out in your mind, but I'm going to paint a picture for you. They are dogs, and so there is no jockey that rides around in the dogs telling them where to go around the track. The way in which the greyhounds stay on course and run the fastest that they possibly can is they place a small mechanical rabbit on a track around the inside of the racetrack. And they make sure that that mechanical rabbit stays just in front of the lead dog. And they all chase after this to reach the finish line of the race. And just a couple weeks ago, I came across this story of a similar racetrack to the one that I got to experience in Wheeling in Florida. And during one particular race, there was a malfunction with the rabbit that all of the dogs were chasing. In the middle of the race, as the rabbit was going along the rails, it exploded. And parts and fake fur went all over the place. And in that instant, there were three different groups of dogs that had three different responses when what they were chasing exploded and was no longer existent. The first pack of dogs decided we no longer have anything to chase, and so we're just going to lay down and take a nap. The second pack of dogs decided that what in the world happened, and they were curious, and they went after the rabbit who had exploded on the rails right next to them. And as they sort of plunged through the rails, they cut themselves up. Some of the dogs had broken ribs. The third group of dogs, because there was nothing to chase anymore, finally noticed that there were a whole lot of spectators in the stands. And they simply stopped and started to bark at all of the spectators in the stands. As I heard that story, I had this thought, like, isn't that the perfect representation of us as humanity? That when we lose sight of what we're supposed to be chasing, typically we choose one of three things. We lay down and take a nap. We hurt ourselves. Or we make it our life mission to bark at everybody that crosses our path. You see, so often, time and time again, we lose sight, and it's the reason this morning is titled Chase the Rabbit, that God has placed something in front of us that we are being called to chase with our lives. We have been given a mission, and that mission, when we chase that rabbit, allows us to make an incredible impact on our world. That mission was put clearly when that guy named Jesus was getting ready to leave this earth. He died on a cross. 3 days later, he rose again. And for about a month's period of time, he walked around doing a whole bunch of cool stuff, like popping through doors and eating breakfast on the beach and all these sorts of things with his disciples. And before he ascended into heaven, he said, in case you've missed it in my time here on earth, I want you to hear it one final time. And the last words out of my mouth, what I am calling you to, what your mission is on this earth. And we find it in Acts chapter 1. And you and I, will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is what God has been calling us to. And I know that 2020 has been a year in which it has come easy for us to shrink into ourselves. 2020 has been a year for so many of us where it's been easy to become consumed by the circumstances that are happening around us and the distractions of this world. And this isn't some sort of debate as to whether or not that was appropriate or necessary or not. This is simply an acknowledgement that when we really get honest and we look at our 2020s, what we can say is that our 2021s can't be the same as 2020. For the sake of our lives, for the sake of our marriages, for the sake of our finances, there is an element of our lives in which our 2021 can't remain the same. 2021 is an opportunity that you and I have been presented, an opportunity to move forward, to start living out something better. It's an opportunity to bring about change in this world that happens because of you. because of me. You were created with that potential. God saw that in you and is calling you to it. But the question that we finish with is this. But Ben, what exactly does that look like? How do I live out that mission and make the biggest difference possible? And we see it laid out, maybe a little hidden, in these final words of Christ. That in these places that he strategically puts in this final calling to you and I, there is meaning behind each of them that unveils what your calling and my calling are that allow us to make a difference in this world and in our 2021. The first is this, that you and I are being called to make a difference in my world. You see, when he puts Jerusalem in there, Jesus was speaking to a bunch of Jewish people who lived in Jerusalem. Yes, not a trick question. He was saying, I want you to make a difference in the lives of people who you encounter every single day. I want you to get more serious about the way in which you are rubbing elbows with them. Jesus was talking about your employees. He was talking about your spouse. He was talking about your coworkers. He was talking about your kids. It's the reason why here at Core Community Church, we invest so heavily in things like community impact. And we pump our time, our energy, our dollars into that. It's the reason why we invest so heavily into what happens here on Sunday morning and what happens at things like Christmas Eve and Easter and at the movies. It's because we believe with all of our heart that our mission is that God was calling us to make a difference in your lives. That's a large priority for who we are and what we are being called to do. It's the reason why Jesus, when he would heal someone, like the man we find in Mark chapter 5, he said, I want you to go back to your family and I want you to tell them about what Christ has done in your life. Notice he doesn't say, I want you to make a difference in people's lives by going to them and saying, turn or burn. No, I want them to see and hear the impact that I have had in your life. Allow that to rub off on them. And then King Solomon, we come back to him in Proverbs chapter 3. He says, when you find a neighbor that is in need, you need to recognize in those moments that you shouldn't withhold good from those who deserve it. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I'll help you. Do it now. Make a difference in your world now. The opportunity lies in 2021, not to wait until 2022. And the reality is maybe for some of us, what we so often miss is that every single week we are presented with an opportunity to do that in small ways. If you have never experienced coming to church with someone that you have invited, you have sorely missed out on something incredible. Because in that moment, do you realize that everything about your church experience changes? And it's no longer about like, here's the style of preaching that I like, and here's the song that I really want to have sung, and here's the way I really want the music to be done. No, in that moment where there's someone sitting next to you, someone in your world that you're trying to make a difference in their lives, your perspective changes from what I want to seeing everything through their eyes. And man, I hope this is communicating to them, and I hope this is the style of music that they like, and I hope this is something that's relevant in their lives. And we have that opportunity. I know 2020 was difficult to know the boundaries of that. But 2021 could present opportunities in incredible ways, whether it's in person, whether it's online, for you to invite people to experience a God that's different than what they've ever heard about. Maybe for some of us, it's about making an impact in the lives of our spouse and making sure that they see in our own lives and our own time management how important our faith and our relationship is. Maybe for some of us, it's in the lives of our kids and standing up and making the difficult statement in 2021. I know you're 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, and I know you don't really want to go, but I love you enough that you don't have a choice whether you're going to youth or not. Hello. Because right now you can't see what's best for you or what's most important for you like I can. And you can't lose these moments and an opportunity to grow your faith. Or mom and I are getting in the car and we're going to church and you're not staying home by yourself, so I guess you're coming too. But this is an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people we rub elbows with every single day. But Christ didn't stop there. He said, not only do I want you to make a difference in the lives of people in your world, but I want you to make a difference in the lives of people beyond your world. He throws in there Judea and Samaria. Little historical context. He was talking to Jewish people in Jerusalem, and they hated Samaritans. But Judea and Samaria were provinces that bordered Jerusalem. They were people that they would see in their everyday lifestyles and occurrences and shopping trips and excursions. These were people who they lived right next to, but they were different than them, different socioeconomically, different racially. And Jesus was saying, no, you can't just stop at Jerusalem. I'm calling you to get into the lives of people who you don't yet understand. I'm calling you to live out what Paul lived out when he said, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some, to get into your city and to experience the people who are different socioeconomically than you, the people who are different racially than you, to see the hurt, to see the poor, to see the drugs. The best way for you to find common ground with people beyond your world is to find out where they hurt and help them in their hurt. It's the reason why here at Core Community Church, we are pursuing something with everything we've got, something gigantic that we hope in the next few months, we hope to begin to share with you all about the possibilities of this. But it's something that stirs fear inside of me almost every single day. Something that will not be comfortable, something that will stretch us drastically, but something we believe with all of our heart we are called to on mission, to give up everything we've got in our time, in our effort, in our resources to try to reach into our world and beyond our world. And then he takes it the last step and he says, not only am I calling you into your world and beyond your world, but I'm also calling you to make a difference in the whole world. Do you realize right now that there are 40 million people in our world who are presently stuck in human trafficking? Over 40 million. Do you realize there are over 4 billion people in our world who do not know who Jesus Christ is? And while, yes, the people in our world are a high priority, it doesn't mean that the people in the whole world aren't a priority. God is calling us to seek out opportunities in our lives like the one that's presented to you in your weekly. To just say, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know if I can take steps into this, but I'll show up to a 30-minute info meeting to see what it looks like to travel to Guatemala in the most impoverished parts of Guatemala City in a third world country, to interact and rub elbows with people who desperately need to see the hope and the love of Christ, who live thousands of miles away from me, but need to see it in me, need to experience it from me. Jesus just didn't say it once. He said, let me say it over and over again so that you'll understand. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. He uses big words there, all and everyone. Go into all the world, experience it, touch it, change it, make a difference in it. See, this morning we're going to finish here. Maybe for some of us, the biggest roadblock that we've experienced in years past is that we've bought into the myth of the culture and the world around us that's consistently told us that if you want to have a life of contentment, if you want to have a year that's better than the last year, the way in which you get there is to get more for yourself, is to accumulate more, is to take another step up the corporate ladder. That's the way you experience contentment. But maybe for some of us, the way in which we turn the corner and we begin to make a difference in a new and better way and experience contentment the way God designed us to experience it, maybe the closing thought we need to really be able to address this question of what's next is to address this truth that we will never be content making a dollar when our purpose was to make a difference. We will never find the contentment we were created to have by making a dollar Why? Because we were created to make a difference. You are God's masterpiece, who was shaped in such a way to impact this world in unfathomable ways. That's what he sees in you. That's what I see in you. But will this year be the year you believe it for yourself? Will this year be the year you finally step into it? Will this year, hold on for just a second, be the year that you and I finally stop making excuses and start making a difference? It's there. Just one step away. But your contentment and my contentment is predicated on our ability and our willingness to accept our mission without waiting another day, without waiting another year, answering the question, what's next? Right here, right now. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we thank you for the potential you see in us that we oftentimes don't see in ourselves. For the mission you've given us. For the desire you have for us to experience a rich and satisfying life from this day forward. God, I pray that we realize that finding your purpose for our lives, finding that contentment, will never be found in making another dollar, because we were created to make a difference. So God, this year, give us the courage to overcome the fear that's associated with thinking about making a difference in my world. It's associated with making a difference beyond my world. And that's associated with making a difference in the whole world. I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference. I want this year to be the best yet. Give me the courage to ask and answer the question, what's next? It's in your name I pray. Amen. For every single one of us, we believe with all of our hearts, it's what I said at the beginning of the message, that we find ourselves at a place in life in which there is a next step to be taken. It's possible. What I believe with all of my heart is this: there was never a promise that that step would be easy, but God does promise that that step will be worth it. And every single one of us, the steps look just a little bit different. Maybe for some of us, the step that we've had excuses on and that we've put off time and time again is that we don't really need community. We don't really need to do life with others. We don't really believe that spiritual growth happens best in circles, not in rows. But maybe this is the year in which you recognize that moving to the next level in your life requires you to surround yourself with people who also want to go to the next level and live out the mission that they have been given. And this is the year we stop making excuses and we dive in, no matter how uncomfortable it may be, to being in a community group. For some of us, it's about saying, February 7th, I've got 30 minutes after the second service. I'm not committing to going yet, Ben, but I can listen for 30 minutes, and I can see what this is all about and see if God is calling me to take steps into the whole world, and can I afford it? Can I survive it? How uncomfortable will I be to venture into a third world country and rub elbows with people who are making a difference but need to see the hope and the love of Christ in me? All of us have a next step. And you have the potential to take it. Don't miss that opportunity. Again, we're so incredibly excited that you chose to join us this morning, but next week is a week that you do not want to miss. As we dive into the nitty-gritty of how do I really discover what my individual purpose is in this world. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Hope to see you soon.